Welcome to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez, and we have a special guest. Who would you say you are?
I'm Christian Little Guru Linsberger.
All right.
You said I look like Leonardo DiCaprio, actually.
Yeah. You're like a stunt double or something.
No, please, no.
So, you are interning.
Yeah,
here.
I'm interning at Microsoft.
Yes.
I'm doing PM work, that's program manager. And first week at Microsoft was not like that exactly, but...
What do you mean? This is what we do. We, you know, forcibly drown Hayes, our interns,
well,
right?
Yeah, it was like
drinking from a fire hose
into the cold water. It was like that, you know, something like that. But it's fun because you get a lot of free stuff, you get a lot of gifts, you get a lot of friends, actually.
Yeah.
And like a big family. I like it. It's really great.
So what have you done? What's been the part that you didn't think would happen, or what did you not expect to happen in your first week?
What I didn't expect was getting a little fridge.
Oh, you got a fridge?
Yeah, I got a fridge for my office.
Nice.
It's actually a cooler and a warmer.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
That is a gift?
Yeah, it's for free. I got it. I can ship it home, you know.
I didn't get one of those when I started at Microsoft.
It's really cool.
Damn. That's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, actually.
So have you done any actual work besides checking email? Have you started a spec?
Yeah, I've started some specs.
Actually. Oh, really?
I'm on two projects, which are both non-disclosure.
Yeah,
so far.
We can't disclose.
Talk
that.
About that. But I PM, you write specs, like feature specs, and you write like prototypes. I did that, like getting familiar with like the Sync framework.
Right.
So I wrote a simple a sample, and yeah,
cool.
That's actually what I did, and I went to the. Actually, I went to Seattle to visit the fish market, you know, where they throw the fish.
Yes, Pike Place Market.
Yeah, that was cool. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And I saw Ray Ozzie there.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, how funny.
That's crazy. Without bodyguards, without security.
Without bodyguards, without
security.
He was
security. Just walking around, browsing the market.
Yeah, we don't have to tell anyone about that.
I'm sorry.
So we got a ton of news to get into, so let's just start banging it out. And the big one is the Visual Studio 2008 Service Pack and the .NET Framework Service Pack, which also works with last week's SQL Server 2008 release. So this is shock and awe. It's almost like a new version of Visual Studio, frankly. So it is available to download now. And some of the things to remember is Julia Lerman does sort of like the things to know before you install.
Mm-hmm.
So one is they actually package the VS 2008 and the .NET Framework 2008 SP1 into one thing. So there's like one download for both of them, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's nice because you don't need to worry about it. You just download, install, done.
Except if you're running Express.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
Here's the challenge. You will do. Let's say you're one of those customers that runs Team System or Pro or Standard, and you also run Express.
Mm-hmm.
You after you run the big one, it upgrades Standard and higher, but Express is not upgraded. And in fact, if you go to help about Express, it'll tell you it's upgraded, but it isn't. So you need to make sure to rerun the installer for Visual Studio 2008. Which downloads and it checks if you have Visual Studio 2008, the old one, and just does an upgrade. So it doesn't. You don't need to uninstall Express versions.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to click on the installer. It does the smart thing,
so
sees you already have it, and just applies the service pack to it.
So you don't need like backup settings, restore them. So you
right.
Just
you don't
click
need to uninstall.
That's
exactly.
Yeah,
but
that's
just realize there is that thing. And if you're running Silverlight tools, you need to actually install them. And there's a little prep tool that you can do run to check your machine is ready.
So the prep tool tells you also about the Express editions, do you know that?
Yeah, it basically does a system analysis of what things you have, and more importantly, if you have like beta versions of SP1, it tells you you have to uninstall those first.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
All right.
Did you know that?
Yeah. So with Framework SP1 and Visual Studio SP1, ton of features.
Yeah.
So we obviously can't cover them all, but what are the key things that you thought about?
Well, I'm in a group of SQL Server, so they're doing CloudDB stuff like that. So we do the thing that I saw is Entity Framework.
Mm-hmm.
That's their thing. And also this CloudDB stuff with REST, you know, all these Astoria features.
Yes, Project Astoria.
That's really big and it's really cool. I like it a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And
There's MVC, the other web stuff, the browser back history, and even Visual Studio features, right?
Yeah, like the C# background compiling feature.
Yeah, so I think I'm an old persnickety person that I never thought I'd be, but I started using that to write code, and one of the things I don't like is I say like public string foo, I hit enter, and it's already giving me a squiggly line that I don't have not all code paths return a value, and I'm like, no, just give me a second to finish typing. So then I do return string.empty just so it'll get the error away.
You're not the only one. I'm doing that too. So yeah. I enter like, you know, throw new, not implemented exceptions just to get rid of this red lines, you know.
Yeah, that's so kinda... So the problem is the red lines basically make me like halt execution. So I need to like retrain my brain.
Yeah.
So I think that might be my fault.
We are not used to that. We are C# devs.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it's a lot better than that VB6, if you remember, where it would literally do a message box warning every error. Just like the worst.
That's awesome.
So things have gotten better. Okay, so other features. I'm trying to think. For Windows Presentation Foundation, you get the click event, so you can actually see the events tab, and you can search in that events tab, and you can double-click there, which there wasn't an events
tab
before.
That's really, you know, that's something that a lot of people were looking for, you know?
Right.
And then the other thing that's there is, like, the splash screen, which is like a screen that's coming, you know, a splash screen, but it comes up immediately after you launch the application in the background. The just-in-time compiler bakes the whole thing, and then when it's ready, it's going to show up your application.
And speaking of that, like you're doing a client application, one of the new things is also the client profile support. Mm-hmm. So client profile is rather than having to download 100 meg framework like and installing ASP.NET for a client application, you instead, I think it's like 20, 30 megs for that client profile, and there's tool support to it. So you can say, like, use client profile now in the project properties pane.
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of other stuff. We'll go through a couple
like
of our...
pixel shaders and stuff. That's a lot.
WPF, pixel shaders. Adam Kinney has a great video on Channel 9 that we had covered previously, but check all that stuff out.
That's awesome.
So one of the features Brad Abrams was talking about from a framework perspective, tons and tons of customers had asked this, which is the ability to run with default security settings, run managed code from a network share.
Yeah, that's, so you know, that's something that if you're running an application at your big company and you have stuff on this network, you know, you always had to set the settings like in .NET, you know.
Yeah, and then do Active Directory to pass those out, or it was a real pain, especially for apps that you don't really need to install. It was more like a script or .exe. Now it's in by default, so Brad's got a blog post on it, but...
And a nice screenshot.
Yeah.
Simple, of course, but it shows everything that you want.
Yes, console application over a network share. It worked. So we were talking about the splash screen before. So the WPF performance blog actually goes into this. So besides the performance improvements, you can add that splash screen, and it shows you how. And on codeblocks.com/WPF, they've added the data grid control, and they've added an item template that will add a splash screen for your application.
Oh, we got a data grid control for WPF.
Yes,
finally.
Yes, but it's not in the framework.
Uh huh.
It's only as a aftermarket add-on, if you will.
Okay. You got full source code? You know that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I think it might be part of the framework later.
Okay.
So,
but you can play around with it. You know, it's like the full thing with filters and sorting. You know, you get everything.
Yes.
Full blown. That's cool.
Except gorgeous editing, right? So you can use all the WPF templating.
That's cool.
Yeah. So so you can go through the specific blog post to show how you can set the splash screen, which is nice. So while there is a ton of changes.
Numbers. Facts.
Yes. Yes. So Patrick Smakia went through and used a tool called ndepend, where it looked at the previous version versus SP1 and shows the number of changes. So now you had a theory on the
methods, actually.
And we know nothing.
We know nothing. It's like a black box for us, you know.
But what's your theory on how, because the methods went down versions while everything else went up.
I guess they inlined a lot of stuff just, you know, to make it, I don't know, run faster or look better from the inside.
Yeah.
But that's
so those are
only
private methods that they've now like consolidated.
That's no public methods, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense because one thing is that their Service Pack 1 and the normal .NET 3.5 is compatible.
Yes.
So you don't need, like, it doesn't break your applications.
Yes.
And therefore, they couldn't remove public methods.
Which brings us to how many new things I've added. So there's 1,300 plus new public methods, 79 types, 6,000 methods were changed, and 2,400 types were changed, and no public types were removed. So
that's
they didn't
awesome
remove
numbers.
Yeah,
that's
so
huge.
So it gives you the sort of scale on how big this service pack is from a framework side. So lots of stuff there.
So now let's come to Lloyd.
Completely changing the subject.
Yeah, completely.
But this is cool, man.
Yeah, it's really cool. So
this is Cribs at home. Man.
Yeah. What did he do? Actually, he has a new room that's going to be his office.
Right.
For his computer, stuff like that. You know, to hang out, to do his homework, because he's only like 14. Mm-hmm. He's the youngest niner ever.
ever.
And he hired the guy. Actually, he's a friend of him. And what they do is, like, they paint the ceiling with, like, these skyscrapers and, you know, the sky and this nine guy, actually. And the nine guy is not yet finished, but it's the working nine guy, you know. It's painted, it's painting, you know.
Yeah,
painting.
I love it. Yeah, he's gotten, like, dirty, you know.
Yeah, he's,
a little
like,
scrappy.
Yeah, he's in the thing, you know, he works.
So and this is just part one, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not done. He's got a bunch more plans, so.
He is not done, and you can see it. I mean, the nine guy has, like, his little antennas, but they're missing here, so, you know, on the screen. And that's still to come, and what he wants to do afterwards, he wants also to add like these wings or arrows that you see on Channel 8, like the student website. He wants to add them in the sky so that it looks cool, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So looking forward to that and cool stuff, Lloyd. So you were talking. You don't theme your Visual Studio.
Yeah, no.
You don't go crazy with the themes. But for people that do that want to be able to say change background, like the classic one that I've seen is sort of like charcoal background, which is sort of like expression blend, and then using like either green or orange, sort of like these bright colors, almost kind of makes it feel like old school DOS programming. But the point is, this tool on Frickin' Sweet, and that is the website, is it makes it really easy to build Visual Studio themes. So you can choose the colors of all your different settings and export
cool.
it out. Yeah,
it looks really cool. I mean, it's a hard work if you do it without a tool, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
because
well,
you get settings.
Yeah, stuff, you need to manually go in there and save, and then do import export profile. But really, those import export profiles, they're XML, right? So like, all
that's
this is doing
do.
Is building XML.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
yeah, that's another project. It's a little bit older, but probably most of the Niners don't know about it. It's like you can put like a wallpaper inside your Visual Studio editor.
Yeah,
like your girlfriend or your wife.
So we were talking about that.
Or something, you know.
Or both.
Yeah, if you that's bad.
We were talking about this before, and I had no idea this even existed, but being able to skin Visual Studio using a wallpaper, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, because that's most of us developers are the most time in Visual Studio, so you want something nice in the background from time to time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, so
nice.
Check it out. It's on Code Project.
It's free.
Yeah, and free. So what the hell is that?
Yeah, well, that's something that I came across today, actually.
Okay.
It is like, there's some people in Reading University in UK who developed like a small robot that's running with a brain of a rat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, they put like the brain of dead rats out, you know, and hook them up with a computer. So it's like a neural network something. And that's controlling the robot. It's actually also learning, and what they found out is that the different brains have different personalities.
Yeah.
So some won't learn, and others learn, you know. It's kind of really geeky and strange,
yeah.
You know, and some even, if they tell them to do something, like the robot, it doesn't do it, just because it doesn't want to.
Oh, so it's like a teenager. Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
But it's kind of crazy, and they have like a different brains, like on a chip, so they can switch the brains with the robot, stuff like that. And it took them like a week or something to get them up to run, you know, until the brain knew about the robot and stuff, until it was hooked up.
Nice.
It's kind of, you know, they also said something about using a human brain for that, but I guess it's not coming, you know. It's
yeah,
like,
that'll be V2.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So,
you could never do that. You
yeah,
know?
So we're building Frankenstein.
Yeah,
what's the big deal?
It's Franken-robot, Franken-rat.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know.
With robotic arms, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, but so, the page has also a video, so you can check out the video if you're interested in this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, so some pretty cool stuff. Now, Charles this week posted a video on with Vince Orgovan, who runs the Windows Vista telemetry team.
Okay.
So this is the, like, does all the reliability. When Windows crashes and you say send error report, they get this massive, massive database of why.
Must be big.
Yeah, so system crashes. Hey, what the hell does that mean?
I mean,
are you saying Windows Vista crashes?
Nope. But the thing is that, I mean, it's sending, as far as I know, it's sending quite some data back, you know?
Yeah.
So it's each time, I mean, it's even like if I develop an application in C++ and it crashes because of bug of mine, it's going to send the data to Microsoft. That's what,
right.
You know, that's happening quite often with my application, so.
So
not
I mean,
always, but,
this,
you know.
This is cool in that it really is like these guys have sort of made a science of not just operating system crashes, but application crashes.
Mm-hmm.
So a vendor, if you're a software vendor and you sign up for their certificate, you can actually get like the crash analysis,
oh.
Crash jumps of why your application
Does
is
Microsoft
crashing.
Does Microsoft provide that, really?
Yeah, yeah. So the one thing is the certificate, which you got to get to verify that you are you. Otherwise, you're getting like... I can just get, you know, Photoshop crash dumps, which wouldn't be
cool. Yeah, wouldn't be cool.
Yeah, so it helps everybody in terms of reliability. So let's actually go to a video clip.
Let's talk a little bit about the Vista telemetry system. And let's maybe map out, say, a crash happens, then what?
Right. So if it's, let's say it's an application crash
sure.
that happens. You're using your app crashes, normally, for most consumer systems, they're going to see a small pop-up that says, hey, we saw that this application just crashed. Do you want to report the problem to Microsoft?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to really strongly encourage people to send us those error reports. We think from our telemetry about 40% of people actually do. But the way to think about that is there's a small group of people in Vince's team in Redmond that are trying to decide what to look at. And I can look at your problem, or I can look at somebody else's problem. And every time you send me an error report, that's a vote to look at your problem. So if you want your problems fixed, send us the error report.
Excellent.
So we're back. And the next thing that's on our slide deck is actually the Microsoft Sync framework.
You're just pimping out your team. Got to make sure to get your team as many links as possible. No, so no. What is this?
It's syncing for mobile devices.
Okay.
Which is something, actually for me, is really new. I haven't seen that. So you can build like your small application that runs on your mobile Windows device, you know, on your smartphone something, and you can synchronize like pictures that you take with your phone with your Smart Mac or Facebook account.
Oh, nice.
So you can do that, you know.
So I don't have to worry about how the hell to get my pictures off the application. It'll just
do
it automatically?
You need it's a framework, so you need to write a provider for Facebook, but they have an open API.
Well, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah, actually, that's a weekend project. So you can do that, and then you create a small UI.
I think we just found our next hazing for you.
That's something for coding for fun.
Yeah, exactly. Done. I'm signing you up. He's committed now. Perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because we support now all the compact framework. It runs on there, and you can use, I mean, all the phones that come with Windows Mobile 5 and 6 will run it. So that's
awesome.
Kind of cool.
Very cool.
So what's this, actually?
So this is probably one of the hardest ones to explain. So Office Labs is just a team that does just sort of cool, new, innovative stuff. Steve Clayton has the video for this that you should definitely check out. But it's called PPT Plex. And what it is imagine you're giving a presentation, and it's almost like deep zoom for PowerPoint,
oh.
Where you can do a layout of like a really large image, or you can imagine like a roadmap of stuff. And as you're going through, instead of going slide to slide to slide, you can move around that roadmap and then decide to zoom in when you want to get to level of content, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out.
That looks cool.
Yeah, so it just really brings sort of like redefines PowerPoint and PowerPoint presentations. It's totally free. You can download it today.
So it's like a big wall for PowerPoint slides.
Yeah.
A big printout wall where you can zoom in, zoom out, move to the next.
And it's just really gorgeous too, right? So so check it out. And it lets you zoom in even to different slides too, which is a thing like... I hate to say that Microsoft has a tendency to put way too much information on slides, but sometimes you really want to zoom in to like one level of detail. It lets you do that in the application itself.
Yeah, I mean, if you have like this sample here is having different charts on the side, so you could zoom in to see the different scales, you know, and the title.
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious that you'd want to do that, but so it's all available, and check
That's
it out.
Cool.
So speaking of free Visual Studio tools, this is a tool called Axialis, founded on Charlie Calvert's blog. But we did some deal with them where basically we get their light version of their icon editor for free. Now the killer part is I'm a terrible designer and
I'm a dev.
Yeah, exactly.
Sums it up.
But the cool thing is they actually have these series of icon templates. So you can download the icon templates. Like imagine like a red circle with a gradient effect and like that sort of like glossy button thing. And then you can get this like a set of arrows and then you choose how you combine them. So it's like
big building blocks of different kind of
You got you know, it. So
you can mix and match them how you want.
Exactly. It just makes so rather than you creating every single thing in an icon from scratch, you're literally just building these together, adding a drop shadow,
etc. So I could take this heart and put like the question mark on it if you want that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
So all this is available. You download the glossy buttons thing, and that one's free. There is a higher level version that gives you even more icons too for Web 2.0 apps. Cool part is these icons scale from 16 by 16 all the way up to, I think it's like 64 by 64. So it's like the full Vista, you know, sometimes you get those really big icons. You can actually get those with this. So
and the downloads are getting up. It's a huge number.
Yeah, so I think they have over 115,000 downloads of those icon templates for the free version.
I mean, it makes sense, you know. You can mix and match, you know, that's awesome,
and
you know.
And they're pretty.
For no designers, for devs, you know, that's their tool to make something cool.
Amen. Cool. If you can have HTML templates for websites, there's no reason you can't do the same thing for icons.
That's true. That's really true, yeah.
Okay, so speaking of another Visual Studio tool.
Which is awesome.
Yes. So these are from, it's Mindscape in New Zealand. Built a free Visual Studio add-on that adds Windows Explorer directly into Visual Studio. So a lot of times I'm surfing Visual Studio files, I'll do the right click, open containing folder to actually get to the file.
And then go to bin debug.
Yes, bin debug. Or I need to copy some file over, or I'm emailing a file, whatever it happens to be. Now you have a full Windows Explorer, and the part that we have zoomed in here, this was our favorite, is aligned to go directly to a Visual Studio command prompt.
Yeah.
So when you need to do a CSC or a VBC for the command line compilers, boom, you can get there right there. Or you can jump back to your project directory as well. And it has the up arrow.
There's something in there for Jamie.
Yes.
And that's the up button.
Yes, and Jamie's going to want this ported over to regular Windows Explorer.
Of course. there's also another nice feature in there. So if you have like your project running on a C, documents, user, or something, then you can like point to a folder and say, this is my new root.
Yes.
So you only get that sub directed, that part of the path, and you that's also what you see in the screenshot. It's only showing a part of the actual C drive or whatever that is, and that makes it easier to understand, you know, only to focus on a project and only browse within the project, you know, within the solution. That's something that's interesting.
So cool stuff, love this, easy download, free, done. So DevExpress guys have a bunch of controls, and they decided to release 60 of these for free.
This is really the week of free stuff.
Yeah, I know, and of great stuff too. So a number of these are their Windows Forms controls, but they also have ASP.NET controls. Things that I like about it are, in particular, like building a rich text editor, where I'd never want to have to do that manually.
You don't want to do that.
No, I'm done with my string parsing. So all these controls can be downloaded for free
actually,
today.
Actually, that's something that one guy in the tech of forum pointed out. He wanted to write something that's having IntelliSense. He could use one of these text editor controls to hook into that, you know, like syntax highlighting stuff, you know. That's probably something that you can do with that.
Yeah, use the Visual Studio shell, and we could make that available for any application.
That's true.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, we should. Like, most of that stuff is for dev tools, but we should do that.
Oh.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, so we actually get to talk about Windows 7. So Steve Sinofsky and the engineering team just released a new blog, blogs.msn.com/e7. And it's about the engineering process for Windows 7. So they announced it basically today. The key things that I took away from this first post are... We're going to have a lot of stuff to talk about at two events, PDC, which we always pimp out here, and then WinHack, which is the hardware conference. Mm-hmm. But they also talk about like why the change in communication style. Before, we would just say sort of like anything and everything.
Yeah.
Their philosophy with Windows 7 is promise and deliver.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, either previously, they overpromised, didn't deliver, things came late.
That's
they
something.
Set expectations, and then we went another way.
Yeah.
And customers, partners, everybody got mad.
We all remember the Windows Longhorn Reset.
I don't know what you're talking about, but...
Yeah, but this is Steven's way, you know. He's always, when he did Office, it's always like what he said was what, you know, we got.
Right.
So other stuff, he didn't mention stuff that he wasn't sure about that's going to come, you know, that's going to be part
right.
of the next version. So
exactly.
That's how he always does stuff. And
They'll wait, when they actually talk about stuff, it's stuff that they know and feel confident that they'll share.
Yeah, and you can then use that and build upon it, you know, not like in... Longhorn, you had the sidebar that ran like C-sharp stuff, and now it's all HTML, so control way all the stuff, you know.
Are we still filing those bugs? hey, can we get this back from Longhorn? Probably not.
No.
Definitely a blog to read, and
as
they're disclosing more things...
Subscribe to the RSS?
Yes. So here's the crazy part. For whatever reason, they don't have an RSS subscription right now. Yeah, isn't that weird?
They
said it's coming soon.
Ah, okay, so
but, maybe
check
it'll
out
be fixed.
And subscribe when it's there, you know?
Yeah. Now, in the...
That's not coding for fun. That's dance stuff.
Yeah, so this is an article... by Jerry Brunning. The funny part is this uses home automation stuff to check whether doors are closed or not. It basically is an automated way, a Vista sidebar gadget, to see if somebody's in the bathroom or not.
That's cool.
Before you go.
Yeah, that's really cool because, you know, I wanted to do something like this for my dorm, actually, because the washing machine is like two floors down. And I wanted to install like a camera to watch if the washing machine is on, you know, some light or something's rotating in there.
Yeah.
To understand. And that's something that's also interesting. That's going into direction, but it's...
Yeah, you're forced to go check if something's available.
Yeah, always I go down, up, down, then somebody else sneaks in, you know, there's no list where I can enroll, so I have to still go up, down. It's like, yeah, I did that for, you know, I don't remember how many times.
Yeah.
But that's really cool. That's really interesting.
So, and it's a sidebar gadget, too, so you can always pop up and see who's in the bathroom. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Cool stuff. Speaking of other cool projects, now this is one of the funniest things. This is OpenCV, an open source computer vision library wrapper in .NET, and it's Intel's OpenCV.
Yeah.
But you have experience with
this. Yeah, I have
experience
with OpenCV.
So talk us through it.
I'm doing my master thesis, actually, with OpenCV, and what I do is like finding skin in moving images. That's actually you find skin in videos.
So
why would you use that?
What applications? Why would I have video skins?
I mean, there are some obvious reasons. Like there's YouTube and like even Microsoft with Soapbox. And they have like legacy legal stuff running, you know, like they are suited for stuff because people upload like adult material there, you know, like you get a lot of naked people running there, and families sue them because children can access that.
Right.
So the idea is to understand if skin is in there, to see if this video needs some further classification through, you know,
it's
editor
flagged.
Group. It's flagged, and then an editor group gets in and browses through and understands what's going on, you know. That's important, and that's what I'm doing. And I used OpenCV because if you really want to do something with video and, you know, like processing video, then OpenCV is really great. They have like filters where you can, it's easy, first of all, it's really easy to get a video from a camera. There's like one method call, you get it, that's it.
Yeah.
Then it's really easy to like process video. You can apply filters with different kernel sizes like blur or invert or convert into different color spaces, which you need always if you do image processing, always.
Interesting.
So you can do that, and it's optimized. It's running like on multiple threads, so to have multi-core support, you know, it's really
cool,
performant.
Cool.
And C# is making it a lot easier because, you know, right now you have to do it, it's like C style.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah, I like my safety blanket of managed code and never have to worry about memory. So
yeah, it's like it's really C.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's bad.
So this is great having a wrapper for this stuff. And he actually goes through including samples of how to use those features.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not just the wrapper, because sometimes you won't even know where to start, like, but it shows, say, like applying effects and stuff. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So yeah. Picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Oh yeah.
Yay.
So well, what are we showing here?
Yeah, that's like my favorite daily cartoon.
Yeah.
Or joke. In a picture, whatever, and it's from Wolf Morgenthaler. He's like, I guess he's from Europe somewhere. I found it out on a random, you know, and he has like a RSS feed where you can subscribe, and you get each day a pick of the week with a joke. So that's really cracking me up in the morning.
Nice,
and you know, it's kind of funny. I think it's worth to be mentioned on this show because right. It's really
you gotta give a shout out to things you love. So
yeah, it's really cool. You should subscribe to it.
Now, in terms of things I love, you know, you got Lolcats and you got Deep Zoom. Clearly, they needed to be combined into Deep Lol. So,
of course.
Yeah, of course. How many more applications? We have Lol Code. We have any Lolcats. Okay, so Rob Burke, what he does is he has, they do the, man, what's the name of the technique where you actually zoom in and it's hundreds of pictures?
At Deep Zoom?
Well, no. Where they actually do the colorization of images, right?
Oh,
so, like,
remember.
One image is actually... there's an algorithmic way where
yeah,
you basically change the colorization of images so that that little kitty there that you see, if you zoom in, it's actually made up of thousands of Lolcat pictures,
yeah.
Right? So you can zoom in and actually see that it's not a picture of a kitty. It's actually made up of hundreds of...
That's something that the Niners kind of found out, you know, how the algorithm or thing is named. I kind of remember.
Yeah, yeah, I can't remember the name. I'm sure yeah. 10 people will yell
but
at us.
It's really cool. I used to browse around and to zoom in. Like, the interesting thing is that they didn't reuse most of the images. So it's like, you know, this algorithm who lays out the image that the big one looks like the cat here.
Yes.
Usually reuses pictures because they are, you know, they fit, you know, they have some certain coloring, so they could be fit into different locations of the pictures.
Right.
But this algorithm didn't do that. So
yeah. Well, I did see
there
some.
There are some,
duplicates.
But
yeah.
Not there are not that many because there's most often you have like 10 images or 20 or 100 or something, and they always repeat.
Yes.
But that's not the case here. You can.
There's so many Lolcat yeah. pictures in there. So
I guess,
many.
Yeah,
so so it's a lot of fun. Definitely check it out.
Around, yeah.
Cool. So that's our show, man.
That's
so short. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Cool.
That's cool.
Thanks. Right.